Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. We have had quite a week. I'm excited for the people because there is so much that we can do if we learn to work together. On yesterday, me and my friend Dave were together. We had a remarkable conversation, and I enjoyed every minute of it. There are things that we need to do, we need to work on, and we cannot do it as an individual. Things need to be done right away. We got to do it as a team, as a group, as a community, as whatever it takes, it needs to be done. But let me talk about one fair wage for 1 second. You know, we as human beings forfeit the right to worship God as a state or a nation until we do what is right by the workers and pay them a living wage. We cannot give up on the calls for a fair wage. A living wage, and the minimum wage is $9. And 25 cents, which is not enough for those who live in poverty. Despite working 40 hours a week, that is not enough money to take care of a family. See, we must force the politicians to be true to the people. We went out and got over 400,000 signatures. Oh, yeah, 400,000 signatures. We went out and got them, and we forced the hands of the politicians. Now listen to this. They had no intention of doing the right thing, but those 400,000 signatures forced them to do so. But we must make them be true to the people. Because they believe that they can do whatever they want because we allow them to. These politicians, they work for the corporations. They do not work for you. And don't get it in your head. And how they say, don't get it twisted. The politicians work for the corporation and not the people. We have to force them to do the right thing. And we can do it. Government is ran by the people and for the people. But we have to stand up and say that that's what it is. You know, it is a sin for anybody to work 40 hours and not be paid a living wage. That's right. It is a sin for us to sit around here and allow people to work 40 hours and can't take care of their family. It's amazing. There are 58 million United States workers earning below $15 an hour. But we have 400 families. 400 families that's making an average of $97,000 an hour. And we look up to people who simply, we lock them up for simply because they want $15 an hour in a union. We should understand that poverty is not the problem of laziness. See, a lot of people like to say, well, they're lazy. They don't want to do this. See, that's their way of getting out of this. But they don't have to see God for themselves. They're lying on the people. And a lot of people accept this because they don't want to face the truth. The poverty is not a problem of laziness. Workers, working-age adults account for most of the growth in the number of Americans living in poverty. Over 30 years, it is a sin to see somebody out there working 40 hours and not making a living wage, while corporate and corporations get corporate welfare, and nobody says nothing. While the poverty rates are the highest among African-American and Latinos in terms of percentage of race, white people actually make up the largest number of the country poor, over 17 million. So don't let anybody tell you that the moment that we are now in America is new. What's going on now is new. It's not new. We may have new players, but it is old as apple pie. What is also old as apple pie is those who believe in freedom and justice for all. I refuse to give up on the power of love. I realize that this American project is hard, but we can never give up on the soul of democracy. I cannot give up on the call of freedom, the call of love, and the call. We must break through the forces of regressionism with a moral movement of transformation. That is why I fight today for a fair living wage. That's right. You can't live off of $9.25 an hour. You can't do it. You cannot live off of $9.25 an hour with a family or by yourself. You can't do it. We have to change the way people do business here in this country. And we can do it. It's all about the people. Government is ran for the people and by the people. That's what we have to get through that big head. Also, in the city of Benton Harbor, the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality tested 135 locations throughout the city of Benton Harbor. The city opted to use and test using voluntary water standards, recommendation of 5, the bottled water standard. A total of 60 houses tested above that. 5 more tested above 15 billion. 1 tested location in the school system, Martin Luther King Stern Academy on Britain, tested 642, more than 40 times higher than the EPA, 40 times higher than anything else in this state. The water condition in Benton Harbor is horrible, but they do not want the people to know. The people in Benton Harbor are not wise enough, don't care enough to take a stand and say no more. What you're doing, you're feeding your children this water. Your children are drinking this water and destroying their mind. Let it eat up the mind. And there's other things in that water, bacteria also, that destroys, that eat up the body also. There's a bacteria inside the water that has caused your glands to swell up. You know, but here's what one of the staff told Amy Nichols. Said that the fixture was a perfect thing in the school. It pressed the food for the student. And it's where food is being served. This water is 642 more dangerous, over 40 times higher than the EPA action allows this level to be. And our kids are drinking this water. Overall, Benton Harbor, Michigan has a major problem. We have a water problem. This has been this way for years, but nobody ever say anything about Benton Harbor because Benton Harbor has nobody actually to stand up other than Reverend Edward Pimpy. They don't have anybody who would take a stand and say no and call these people out. Whirlpool Corporation love it just like this. Love it just like this. They love the lead and the bacteria eating up the brains of our children. They love it. And you also have black people working with Whirlpool to destroy our own city and our people. You have this mayor, Marcus Muhammad, who is a tool inside Whirlpool toolbox, working against the people. You see? But nobody want to say anything because they're afraid if they say something, Whirlpool was sick. The Barron County Sheriff and prosecutor in that Barron County court on you. But I'm telling you this, they don't intimidate me. And listen, let the people vote. Let them vote. We are working on something as we speak. Do you all watch Dancing with the Stars, where a person can call in and vote? You don't have to leave your house. If it's raining outside, you can vote from your couch. You can vote from your kitchen table. You can vote from your basement. You can vote for anywhere. You can vote on the bus, in your car. This is the new wave that we are going to be presenting all across the country so that everybody can get a chance to vote. Even if you don't have a phone, you can use your neighbor's phone. You can use your cousin's phone. You can even use your mother's phone. Your mother can use her son's phone. All we're going to do, we're going to set it up and we're going to present it to the world. We also got to remember this. They make billions of dollars off these voting machines. Billions of dollars. You got different companies. Even the Trump family now is into voting machines. Ivanka, whatever her name is, she's the one. She's now have invested in voting machines. Everybody trying to control the election. Well, let's stop voting on things we want. We should take the power out of these politicians and put it back into the people's hands. And it's not difficult. The point is, people have to take a stand. They have to say no more. Let's stop voting from home. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to go sit on your couch and dial a number, put your code in, and vote for whatever you want? Only takes seconds. We can do it. We can do it. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, Joseph Perry, one of the greatest activists in the world. He is someone that everybody should know. He's my friend. He's my guy. I love him, and believe me, he is someone special. Joseph Perry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's a pleasure to have a guy of your caliber on my show because we don't get guys like you every day to come on our show and tell us what's really going on. See, because a lot of people, you know, they're afraid to speak the truth. You see, they can't handle the truth. And a lot of people can't handle the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They'd rather listen to a lie. We're living in a time now where the truth is a lie and a lie is the truth. And it's acceptable. That's the scary part. It's acceptable. People accept this, knowing that it's not the way things are supposed to be. But, you know, one of the things we always talk about this capitalistic system, how it works, and what really got to, you know, really get to me is that people don't understand the system itself. That's why we're in this predicament we're in today. It's no coincidence. It's not a coincidence. But here's what I like you to do. I know people always talking about communism. They don't even know what communism is. They don't understand. All they say, that's a dirty word here in the United States. You don't want communism. Well, I don't want capitalism. So where do we go from here? But can you kind of like give us a definition of the word communism, please?
Yeah, one of the things I did is I went and looked online at four different dictionaries that gave definitions of communism and also socialism. And let me, before I give these definitions, say it's very appropriate now to talk about these things in the times that we're in. Why? Because you have a lot of people now who aren't, like they took a poll. They took a poll and they asked, for instance, people's thoughts about communism, capitalism, socialism, and there's an ever-increasing number of people who are now starting to look at this stuff. And not only that, but they're running for office. They're like, we're tired of this nonsense. We're going to run for public office. And they're winning in public office. So let me go on and read this, because I think we can apply these concepts to why there's such a big battle going on in the electoral arena right now. So let me read. This is from Collins English Dictionary, and This is their definition number one of communism. Advocacy of a classless society in which private ownership has been abolished and the means of production and subsistence belong to the community. So that's Colin.
Hmm.
You want to keep going? Keep going. We talk, or you want to talk about each one?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's kind of like break down what that means. That just what you just read.
Right. Okay. So it's talking about a classless society. What's that mean? Well, I mean, if you go to work, which is basically the main class breakdown in America, you go to work. You work for a guy that's a businessman. In other words, he's a capitalist. And he basically pays you a wage. And the wage kind of works out, especially nowadays, but the wage works out too. When you get your paycheck, you basically go out and pay all your bills, and when you're done with that, you hardly got anything left. Just like you were mentioning, 9:30 an hour, can't live on it. Yeah, you go out and pay your bills. You can't even take your wife and kids to the show or something. You can't do nothing. You just got to go back to work the next day, and you're in the daily grind. Whereas the capitalist guy, the one who owns the business, he's living in a mansion. He's got all kinds of money. He jump on a jet anytime he wants to and go anywhere he wants to. They're making money off. They're exploiting your labor and making money off of it. So that's how the society is broken down into classes. You know, one class owns everything and is very small. The other class, us, very big, don't own nothing. We're forced to have to sell our labor to them. They exploit our labor, and that's how the society goes, right? And so when they talk about the means of production and means of subsistence, they're talking about the factories, all the things that produce the things that we need. I mean, human beings need food, clothing, shelter. They need these things to survive, have education, health care, clean water so that the children aren't drinking nasty water. Come on, these are just a given. These things have to be given to the people. Let me go on to the next one, Cambridge Dictionary. This is their definition of communism. An economic system based on public ownership of property and control of the methods of production, and in which no person profits from the work of others. Now, this gets to the heart of things. I mean, if you're talking about a society where this small group of 1% folks can no longer profit off of your labor, they're going to be very upset and angry about it. This is how they make their money. This is why they're billionaires and we're paupers. You're going to get a fight from these people, and they're not going to be playing around. I remember back in the 60s when this was one of the main deals when they assassinated Martin Luther King, because Martin Luther King was switching from from the civil rights, so to speak, now onto something new, onto class. He was talking about class. He was talking about getting all the poor people together in America and then fighting for just these basic necessities of life that every human being ought to have, which were being taken away. So anyway, all right, so here's the next one, Oxford Dictionary. A theory of or system of social organization in which all property is owned by the community and each person contributes and receives according to their ability and needs. Boom. I mean, that's it. I mean, if you've got a need, you've got a big family, you're making nine something an hour, how are you going to feed all them kids? Should your kids starve? Why should your kids starve? Why should you be homeless? I see kids out here on the street homeless. Women and kids homeless on the street. This should not exist in a society that has the technological development that we have and has the ability to feed, clothe, and house everybody. It shouldn't be. Let me give an example, if I can. The man didn't call this communism, but what he's talking about here is communism. The guy's name is Stephen Hawking. And just in case people don't know who he is, he was the physicist that just died earlier this year in March. He's the fella, if you would remember, he's in the wheelchair and he couldn't speak. So they had him hooked up to a computerized system where he could speak through the system. And basically he was like considered one of the most intelligent scientists to ever live. He's like the next person after Einstein, like that. So anyways, he got on a radio program. On a website called Reddit. And when he got on that website, anybody could go on there and you would give him a question, and he would answer the question. And basically, there's like 60,000 people got on there. The guy's very popular, very well known. He gets on the show, and one of the questions somebody asked him was, well, what do you think? Because they, you know, they asked him all about the universe. They asked him all about how atoms work. You know, all this scientific stuff. So now they asked him, you know, somebody asked, give us your opinion about technological unemployment, or, you know, structural unemployment under our system because of technology and robots and this sort of thing. So what he did is he took this vast intellectual outlook he had, and he took it from, you know, the stars, atoms, science, so to speak, out there, and he applied that to everyday life of our society. This is what he had to say. He said, if machines produce everything we need, the outcome will depend on how things are distributed. Everyone can enjoy a life of luxurious leisure if the machine-produced wealth is shared, or most people can end up miserably poor if the machine owners successfully lobby against wealth redistribution. So far, the trend seems to be toward the second option, with technology driving ever-increasing inequality. I mean, this guy is talking about, when he's talking about wealth redistribution to the population, you're talking about, literally, he's talking about communism. Not one person got on the internet and messed with him about that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like an idea. It's like Hugo, Victor Hugo used to say, it's idea whose time has come. Okay, I mean, it's not. Look, if robots are taking your job and making you permanently unemployed, if you've spent years learning a trade, and now that trade is wiped out forever, you know, what are you supposed to do? And they say, well, there's the new job. But guess what? I don't hear anybody saying they're going to stop the robots from taking over the new jobs. And here's what's happening. Robotics is invading every aspect of our economy, and it's removing people from work. Now, I know Donald Trump is out here right now bragging that the economy is doing so fantastic, everybody's at work. No, sir. All you got to do is go look up on the internet how many people live in the United States over the age, you know, within the working age from 18 to 65, and they give you these statistics, and look at how many people are actually working. Okay, what happened to the other 100 million people or so who ain't listed on here as working? What are they doing? I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're out there. When you, do you see less homeless people out here? In my community, I live in Cabrini Green, man, unemployment has not really changed here. And if you do get a job, it's one of them jobs we were just talking about a minute ago where the pay is so low, you're barely making it. Now, this is what the outcome of introducing the technology is doing. And just to kind of state how this works, there are economic laws at work. You know, each capitalist has to, if his guy that he's in competition with is using robots, he's got to use them too because it lowers cost and it makes more profit. And, you know, and that means he can sell his goods on a market for cheaper than you can sell yours. You got no choice. You either get out of business or you employ robots. Here's the problem. If the robots are doing all the work, who the hell is supposed to buy that stuff? So you end up with a society that's divided into rich, super rich, and super poor. And the super rich, that number of people is getting smaller and smaller. And the super poor, that number is getting bigger and bigger. And yet these folks own everything. They own everything you need to live, but they're not going to allow you to have it unless you give them some money. And you can't have no money because they ain't allowing you to work. Or if you are working, they're not giving you enough money to buy back the very things you produce. So that's the problem. That's the issue here.
Wow, you know what, and that's amazing, Joe, because what you just described is so amazing, and people are claiming that the economy is this. See, they don't really know. See, and they remember this, they can always play with the numbers. They always can play with them. They can make people think that things is happening that's not happening, and then they use this fake news to help destroy your mind. Listen to the news every day, you would think everything is just peaches and cream. But in reality, we're just as bad off now than we was 4 years ago, you know? And
right.
But people don't want to hear that. Matter of fact, we're worse off now than we was 4 years, because we don't know what this nut might do. You know, this guy's a real nut. He's driven by his ego, you know? And
yeah.
But we got to be careful. But listen, I know you had told a couple of jokes, and can you take the time out and tell us one of your favorite jokes? Because I just love it, and I think my audience would love it also, and just tell it, because we got a big crowd today. We got folks from all over the world there listening, and we got a full house, a full stand. So listen, tell us, and then I got to move on.
Yeah, you must be talking about the Trump joke I told the other day, right? So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, absolutely. So let me tell it. Yeah, so the way the joke goes, they're saying that, like, last Halloween, Donald Trump went to a Halloween party dressed as an orange-haired clown. And so when he lost the costume contest, he got mad. You know, he likes to fire. You're fired. He wanted to fire everybody. He's mad anytime he loses, you know. So little kid comes up. He pulls on his shirt, and he says, "Hey, mister," he says, you can't come down here dressed as yourself and expect to win." He's still upset about it. So the judges in the contest come down and basically say to him, "Look, man, it's basically what the little kid just told you, but, like, if you would have came dressed as president, you'd have won then, because we know you're jiving at that, right?"
I just love it. We know that if you came dressed as the president, you could have won, because we know that you definitely not the president of these United States. You know, that's amazing, Joe. I tell you something, Joe. Hey, I really appreciate you, and you know, just your knowledge, your wisdom, is beyond my thoughts, because I know who you are, I know what you have done, and I know what you're capable of doing, and really, really appreciate you. You are a true hero, and a man who I love dearly, and we'll stand with side by side and take on anybody. We don't care who it is or who they want to be. We don't care, because you and I, we're connected at the hip, my brother, because I love you so much, and I really thank you for coming on. And see, people got to understand what communism really is. They try to make it out to be something horrible, and the average American don't read. You see, they don't know what communism is. Germany was communism. Russia, you know, they using what happened in there and stuff like that. But they use that as a way to say how terrible it is. But it's not what they think it is. But I'm happy that you know, that we have some wise folks here in this country who really know the truth and is not pulled into all that stuff. And I'm glad that you also mentioned the economy to these people, because most people don't know. And they listen to all this fake news, and this is what's driving us today. But thank you so much, Joe. Do you have any closing words that you'd like to say?
Yeah, just a few things, a few thoughts on, you know, the discussion we had. And I just like to say, people can think about it as, I've got friends, for instance, you know, I talk to them all the time. They tell me, well, look, Joe, why don't you use a different, all right, so let's look at it. We're talking about a publicly owned society versus a privately owned society. I mean, you want to live in a country where corporations are privatizing everything, the health care, the education, the housing, the water, and you can't get none of them things because they own it, and, you know, they want you to pay for it? When, come on, man. It was publicly owned. Why do you get to take it over? Why do you get to own it, you know? And the other thing is, think about if the technology was in the hands of us, the American people, there would be no homelessness. There would be no starving people. There would be no kid not getting an education. There would be, you know, I mean, take any problem you want. Those problems disappear, you know. And this goes to the next thing. People say, well, look, you're talking about taking my – you want to make everything public. You going to take the shirt off my back? No, no, no. Okay, so it's like, first of all, this is you part of the public. That means you got to say so on what happens here. So your personal property versus your private property is two different things. Personal property is the shirt on your back. Private property is the factory that makes the shirts. You know, so if we together own the factory that makes the shirts – we can make sure everybody's got a shirt. You know, there shouldn't be anybody out here, you know, without a shirt on their back in the middle of winter. And every winter, I want to point out, every winter, man, when winter is over, they're already digging 5-10 homeless people that have frozen to death out there. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. So I would say to apply all these concepts to the elections that are taking place now, the voter suppression and all that, and you see why there are the problems that exist in here that exist. You know, it's because the economy is heading in a direction that we're describing, and they're getting ready for it. The people who are running the show, these capitalists that is running the show here, these corporations that are running the show, they're getting ready. And the way they're talking about getting ready is they're going to own the government, which they are, you know, they damn near already do, and they're going to own the entire economy. They're going to own everything public, and you ain't going to get nothing. That's what we face.
Yeah, absolutely. You are right on point, and that's the way I think. And I believe you're right there. And but we have to find a new system. Also, a new voting system. You know, I say let the people vote. Let them vote. And listen, just the thought of letting them vote, that you can vote by phone. You know, you don't have to leave your living room. You don't have to leave your basement. You don't even have to leave your car. You can vote from work. You can do all these things. Let's start voting by phone. So that way, people can get out and vote, and we'll find a way to get it done. On that note, Joe, I got to let you go. And thank you so much for being on. All right, then. You're a hero, my brother. All right, now. That's my good friend, Joe Peary, the man of the moment. Now I got to bring in my good friend, David Frank. David Frank from South Bend, Indiana. We have a plan. And the plan is that we want to let the people vote. Let them vote. You know, I think the best thing that we can come up with now is to let people vote from home. You don't have to stand in long lines anymore. You don't have to, you can vote from your couch. You can vote from your basement. You can vote from your car. You can vote from your job. Vote. Vote. Vote by phone. And only thing these billionaires is going to hate that it's going to cut into their money because they own the voting machines. We have to figure out a way to get around these folks. Let the people vote. Let them vote. They say we have a democracy here in America. And one of the things about a democracy is to let the people vote. On that note, David Frank, how are you doing today?
Hey, good, Reverend. And I've just really enjoyed listening to you guys. I agree with both of you 1,000%. You're right on. And Joe, what a neat guy. He's so right about technology. We have it today. Let's use it. We now know that the people that are making decisions in our lives are being made, they're taking money to make decisions the wrong way, not the truthful way, and we can't use them anymore, we can't trust them anymore. You know, obviously their absolute power is corrupted absolutely, and it happens every time, and the reason is because these are all top-down systems, and people have to realize that top-down systems benefit the people at the top. They don't benefit
absolutely
the people at the bottom. And that's why that's what we had. That's what our present governmental system is. That's what these corporations are. You know, think of the abbreviation for corporations, CORPS. The only thing that's missing is the silent E, corpse, death.
Mm-hmm.
That's running America, and they are the government. Those people, those politicians that you're voting for are puppets for those corporate heads. And that's why they're paying themselves $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 million a year. And nobody earns that kind of money. Nobody. That money is stolen. That is stolen money. That's the only way that you can obtain that kind of money in 12 months is to steal it. And that's what these guys are doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, and you know, they holler, we have a democracy, and one part of democracy is allowing people to vote, you see, and what they're doing now, They try to make sure most people don't vote, especially assert a group of people. And nobody really want to talk about that when reality is there. We have a way now that, you know, we can eliminate a lot of this stuff. We should start letting people vote from home. You can vote by phone.
You can vote from an airplane. You can vote from anywhere. You can vote from anywhere. And it's so simple. It's so simple. And all we've got to do is, like Joe said, we got to stand up and demand change. And we, and Reverend Pinckney, I'm just excited that you're pushing One Voice now. I mean, it's the plan that to bring equality to America and the world. It's the plan that gives everybody one voice, one equal voice.
And let me say this too, David Frank. Frank, remember this. See, they're always talking about vote, vote, vote. Now they have an opportunity where everybody can actually vote. And the thing is, we are going to have to deal with the little bitty people from the bottom up. We can't deal with the top down because it's not going to work from that angle, because the people that's in position would not want everybody to vote, because if everybody voted, we wouldn't be in this compromising position we're in today. And you can vote, you know, on anything. You can go to the city council meetings and put something on the agenda so people can vote on. We should not be putting our lives in the hands of these people who don't mean us any good. We shouldn't do it. And
all they're doing is stealing from us. That's all they're doing. They're stealing from us, and they're using us to be puppets for the corporations. We're in the Middle East not to benefit America. We're in the Middle East to benefit the oil companies. They have two things. They have sand and oil. We got plenty of sand. And people know this. People know this, but people don't have a voice. And what One Voice now does is it gives everybody that equal voice. Issues like this in our communities need to be raised, debated, and voted on. And we have the technology now that we can do this tomorrow. Let me just explain One Voice Now to your listeners. Our website is onevoicenow.org. And all we're saying is that each community owns a broadcasting station. It's called public broadcasting. It's owned by you, the people. It's financed by you, the people. And what we need to do is use that to send the information out to the public, ideas that people have to make your communities better. And we're going to change the format from public broadcasting to be our local issues, TV, radio, and internet channel. So that when people in your community have ideas to make education better, they'll present it to the people over the TV, it'll simulcast over the radio and live stream over the internet. We'll present that to them for several days, and they'll be able to vote with any touch-tone phone. They'll call a local number, their call will go into a community database that will have their ID number and PIN number, ask what issue number you'd like to vote on, press 1 for yes, 2 for no, count the vote, block you out from voting more than once, and we can now have decisions the way a democracy works, where issues are raised by the people, debated by the people, and voted on by the people. That's what One Voice Now is.
Absolutely. And give out that website real fast for me so people can go there and listen and really get the understanding. OneVoiceNow.org. Go there. OneVoiceNow.org. And those of you, let me hear what you got to say. I would love to have some feedback on this. You can email me at banco9342@sbcglobal.net. Email me and let me know what you think. Dave, on that note, I got to move on. I got to bring in my good friend Ed Billen from Colorado. But thank you so much for being on. We're just gonna take care of the business today. We're just gonna do what needs to be done. Thank you so much, Dave, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Reverend.
We're pushing it. All right now.
All right.
Hey, let me bring in my good friend Ed Billings, because I believe it's his birthday. It was this week. Ed Billings, are you there?
Yes, Reverend, and actually my birthday is today. I'm 48
years
old.
Hey, well, happy birthday to Ed. Happy birthday to Ed.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to Ed. What you want to talk about, Big Ed?
Well, I was listening to what was being said about socialism versus capitalism, and I can see capitalism hasn't done us any good. Not in the
absolutely.
Least.
No, absolutely. And no intention of doing us any good. Matter of fact, it's designed to do exactly what it's doing in its work. But here's the thing that most people don't know. Capitalism is dying because you have to have someone to buy. You know, you have to have someone to make the product and then buy the product. Robots can't buy the products. So
that's
it's
right.
going to die eventually. It's just a matter of time before it dies out. So we're moving this thing. Go ahead.
It's starting to die out now. I mean, when you look at, you go to a retailer or you go to call the company about, the utility company about a bill, you're talking to a machine. You're dealing with the machine when you go out to buy groceries. And, that is going to cause, a collapse.
Absolutely. It's just a matter of time. And always remember when they talk about the economy, they playing with the number. The economy is no different than it was 3-4 years ago. But they tell people that so people can think is in better shape. I don't see no difference, none. Now, one, I don't see more people working. I don't see none of that.
Well, and what you're also seeing America being turned into as a result of the Trump presidency. You're talking about building a wall. That's funny. They did that between East and West Berlin. And the funny thing is, in reference to that, sorry to veer off the subject I was originally calling about, but there was when you're seeing that the migrants have made it Tijuana, there's no U.S. military presence, not that I think there should be, but it's funny how Donald Trump seems to be playing a game with them. And I tell you, as a result of the troops being there, it has me on the edge of my seat. That one, because eventually what's going to happen is the migrants are going to encounter some of our troops. And what's going to be on somebody's mind when that happens? And that's what scares me. I'm afraid that what's going to happen is you'll get a PTSD soldier who's been over to Afghanistan and Iraq, and he's going to shoot somebody. And if a bullet goes across the border and strikes somebody, you know what that starts.
Absolutely. You're right there. So you know what? It's so amazing. What's really going on. Well, listen, Ed, I only got a couple of more minutes for you because I got to bring in my good friend Belinda Brown, and I got to bring in Big Yo. And next week, I'm going to get my good friend Roz. I'm going to give her as much time as her heart desires because we're kind of like running short on time right now. But, Ed, if you got something specific you want to tell us, tell us. And I got to bring in my good friend Belinda Brown.
It's time to rethink the way we've been doing things in America. The way we've been doing it is we vote for people in the Democratic Party. They disappoint us. So then we turn around and vote Republican because we believe the hype they're giving us. Oh, we're going to make jobs better. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And usually they turn around and make it worse. And then now people are wanting to get Democrats back in there. And can you see where this has just gotten to be a ping pong game?
Absolutely. That's the name of the plan.
We really need to rethink this two-party system. And by the way, if you look it up, you will find that the Democrats and Republicans were actually one party when it got started, the Democratic Republicans, and they're acting one party.
Absolutely. They are one party. But, the split is designed to divide us up, and they have been successful at that. You know, they got people hating people over nothing. You know what I'm saying? But listen, Ed, I got to let you go. I will, look, if you can, call in next week. I'll have more time to give. Would you do that for me?
I'll see what I can do. I go back to work next week, but I'll see if I can fit it in. Yeah. So I don't know I can next week, but I will call again as soon as I can.
All right. Thank you. You have a good day and happy Thanksgiving to my good friend and my brother. Let me bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. Yeah, my girl. Yes, my girl.
Pastor Pinkney. All right. Pastor Pinkney. I'm enjoying the show, Pastor Pinkney. You're having a great show. I'm enjoying the happy birthday to Ed and Frank. I'm just listening. Is that Joe out of Chicago, Pastor Pinkney, that we're listening to?
Yes, that was Joe Peary. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, hi, Joe. I want to say hello to Joe. All those them heavy hitters. You got the heavy hitters on the show today, Pastor Pinkney.
Well, you know, it's going down, girl. It's going down. We're at war. We don't even know it yet, but we're at war, man. Linda, this is no conflict. You know, this is the real deal.
And you're absolutely right. You know, your show, you know, I listen to a lot of radio shows and talk shows and, you know, people, conversation, collaboration and stuff like that. But your show, Pastor Pinkney, is off the chains. You're the only one that's talking about what's happening in our country in regards to capitalism and how our country is basically doing the self-destruction of termination or, you know, crushing our civilization. And it's happening right now, and that's the reason why I know that if people like you and many others that are listening to our show today, especially some of the ones that have talked already, you know, we're ready for a change. You know, it's time for us to get the victory that we deserve, and we have to keep talking this up. You know, I know the one voice now is I hope that it would move like a wildfire across the country. Like you said, that Dancing with the Stars, all these people can vote from their home and get way in on letting their voices be heard. And I think that's where we're at now, Pastor Pinkney. Everybody's voice is crying out to be heard. And we're just not going to sit back and tolerate, you know, the special interest group, the elite groups, the ones, you know, in our government that already have their own their selfish, you know, plan to serve themselves. You know, people are on to that now. We're our eyes are wide open. We have, you know, called them out so many times. I think Donald Trump, that's the only credit that he deserves right now, is that he lit the real true colors show. You know, he pulled the sheets off of everybody. You know, he, you know, got people telling their stories that been wanting to tell their stories for quite some time now. That they're like that lady out there in Mississippi that's running for governor, you know, she came out and said on national wide TV that she would be welcome to, you know, to if anybody invited her to a live lynching. So, you know, this is how bold these people are now, Pastor Pinkney. So your show to me, what you are the only show that's talking about what's really going on in our country today. And I'm excited to be a part of that.
Hey, I'm excited to have you part of it, Belinda Brown, because you've been my friend for a very long time, and I love you. I love your family. I love them all. There's not one member of your family who I have a problem with, and I appreciate that, because we know how we do things, so that's truly, truly important. But I'm getting ready to come down there. I'm planning on coming down there probably sometime between March.
What you say?
March. Yeah. I'm going to be going to Jane Fonda home. I think we'll probably be going to the one in Atlanta. I'm not sure yet. But I plan to be going there. You know, we're going to, you know, make all kind of arrangements. And then I want to hit down there and Slidell. I want to come back to Slidell, you know. Slidell, Louisiana.
Well, you got to let me know when you start moving around, because I talked to my girl, Pearlie. Yeah, we are family. That's no doubt about that, Pastor Pickney. You know, God gave you to us, and you can't go nowhere, you and Dorothy and everybody else. But the truth is that, you know, we love you. We love you more, Pastor Pickney. We really do.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. But listen, Belen, I got to bring in my good friend, Yoke, and because he got a story to tell. And next week, Belinda, you know, it's Thanksgiving week. But if you could break away for a few minutes, I'm going to let you and Roz handle the show. You can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, I want to talk about the corruption that's going on in our criminal justice system down here in Louisiana that's spreading across the country like a wildfire, and that, you know, the reason why it's so important that we keep the heat on these corrupt judges and, you know, attorneys and all of these people. We got to keep talking it up, because, you know, Donald Trump just came out and he made his little spiel on the prison reform. But Pastor Pickney, it goes way deeper than that, and we need to really start talking about it.
Absolutely. Well, we will. Next week, if you can break away on that Sunday, I got you. I got you 30 minutes to talk whatever you want, and I got Ross 30 minutes to talk whatever she wants next week. But I got to leave you, Belinda. Love you so much. Tell the family.
Love you.
Give them all a big hug for me. All right. Let me bring in my good friend from Chi-Town. They call him the Big Yo. The only 250 hitter that I know who went down the right field line to shag fly balls and didn't want to do it. My friend, my guy, my classmate, Big Yo. Big Yo, are you there?
Delayed, how you doing, man?
I am doing great, yo. I'm doing great, man. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, trying to make it happen, my brother.
You know, still again, man, you got me down on a whole lot of pressure. You know, I got something to say, but you're not giving me time enough to say it, man.
Enough time to say it, huh? And you know what? I know it's not enough. Well, let me do this for you.
What?
The following week, I'm going to give you the whole show to spread and talk about whatever you want. December the 2nd. I'm going to put you down. I'm going to let you do the whole 60 minutes. It's going to be whatever you want. And and I want people to know. Huh?
I'm talking about this.
Yeah, I know.
So,
big fella.
This is what I want you to do. I want you to tell everybody that's a teacher, them that they're going to have to work in a CAPS pay system. They're going to have to use their own hours. Okay? In a CAPS pay system, the teacher's going to have to work 10 hours a week for this year's salary, 10 hours a week for all their benefits, 10 hours
that's
a week for stipend pay.
At 30.
And then 10 hours a week for their next year's salary. So the taxpayers will not have to pay for their salary no more. They own their own hours. God gives them their own hours, 168 hours. And it's five different pay systems in the book. It's five different pay systems.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go, you know, you kind of prep the people. They tell them to look at my website. It's PensonSenior.com. And then I'm here to take Alec out of the government. So people don't know what Alec is. And so I would say, look at Ava DuVernay documentary on 13th, and they will know all about Alec. But I can tell you a little bit. I got 5 minutes. But I can tell you a little bit about Alec. Alec is a private club that corporate and politicians are in. They're in cahoots. See, you have voted for a person, and they got good intentions. You know, because you know voted for them, you know worked out there on the line for them, and you say, hey, go to Washington and tell them that I want to raid. Okay. So once they get to Washington, corporate is going to put down a lobbyist on them. See, mm-hmm. it's all set up because the lobbies are sitting there waiting on all these new people, you know, that's coming in. The lobby is there, Alec. And once the lobbies get in there, they're going to start thinking, hey, look, you know, what you want? What you want, man? You know, tell me what you want. You want a woman? You want money? We got that. So, but Larry said he want $15 an hour. He said, oh, forget about him. Okay. Let's just give him $9. Ain't no good.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody got to know they have 168 hours. And stop putting these politicians in there, not unless they are in the same hourly work system also, a CHAPS work system. You know, because all of their constituents are in an hourly work system, and they are not. So we're giving them their tax bill, but they don't care. You know, because, you know, they got their money. They ain't worried about nothing. Once that election over with, man, please. You know, they don't care. So we are the
You're right.
ones, okay? So just like those crooked police officers, they don't care
mm-hmm.
because we're paying. You know, they're working overtime. Ain't no such thing as overtime 8 hours. Like I told you mm-hmm. in the book, ain't no such thing as 8 hours, or overtime 8 hours. And they're being paid forced overtime. But they're not. They're looking for is to make that overtime money, and have a present. They ain't thinking about doing their job. And guess what? Their job is, Larry. Their
Talk
job
to
is to serve and protect the community. Mm-hmm. When is the last time you see the police officer do that?
That's right. I have never seen him.
You never seen that. We still paying their salary, paying them overtime, you know. Mm-hmm. And those mm-hmm. things are overtime, you know. Mm-hmm. So they have to be put in the CHAPS pay system also. So guess what? Once you get it put in the CHAPS pay system, now they have their own hours. They have their own hours they have to work. So now when they get out there and shoot one of our black boys, black sisters in the back, you know, or even shoot them in the front, you know, then we could go after them and take their money. Because right now when they do this, they don't care. Because guess what? Did they find out that they wrong and dropped a gun on somebody and, you know, lock you up and lost, lost all those years off your life? And then once they find out, they say, okay, you got me. Now guess what? Now they put a lawsuit in. They put a lawsuit in, and guess who's going to pay that lawsuit? You know, we're glad and we're happy that they put the lawsuit on there and we caught them suckers. But guess what? Paying the lawsuit. And we ain't did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a corrupt system. You put them in a tax pay system, now they got the now, like I told you once before, it ain't no fun when a rabbit got the gun. Now they have their own hours because they have to work 1 week and be off 3 weeks in 1 day within 1 week. What I'm talking about, if you work a 5 day system and three shifts, so you have to work on that particular day, you have to work 8 hours and you have to be off 16. So, and then you come back, and once you work the 5 days, and then you got to be off 2 9 scheduled days. That's another 48 hours. So let's say what I said. You had to work 1 week and be off 3 weeks and 1 day within 1 week. Okay, so 5 times 16 is 80. And then mm-hmm. you got to be off those 2 days in the week, your 9 scheduled days, that's 48. That's 128 hours. And then you add your hours that you work, that's another 40. That's 168 hours. Everybody get it. Everybody get them. Even though, you know, I got a nephew. He voted for Donald Trump. The reason he said he voted for Donald Trump because he wants Trump to build a wall. He's talking about these Mexicans come over here taking their hours. They cannot take your hours. God gives everybody 168. They cannot take your hours. So I'm tired of people talking about, oh, they're taking my job. They ain't taking your job because most Negroes do not want to get out of no field anyway. You ain't getting out there. You'd rather people float because when you're tired of doing that, you know, it's on certain people going to get out there and cultivate the land and grow our food. And we need them. And ain't no robot going to do it either. But I'm talking about nationwide. I'm not talking about the United States of America. No, no, no. I'm talking about China, Russia, and especially Africa. You go over there in Africa, you know, Oprah got a school over there. Tell Oprah to put those kids and that system in a tap pay system. And she'll get her money back every once she initially put her money in there. And then who's all getting paid? That money is coming back every year, year after year after year after year after year. She'll never lose her money. Never. And that same way with LeBron James. King James, that's my man. You know, everybody get 168. You know, that's what that's your lucky number. That's everybody's lucky number. 168. Little Ed, my name is Larry Pinson Sr., and I got a lot to say. But I'm gonna tell you,
I'm
saying, Little Ed.
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm out of time, I know that. But I'm gonna tell your people that's listening to you. While you are trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. Recap. I'm out of here.
All right, take care now. And that's my good friend Larry Pinson from beautiful Chicago. Lived two couple of doors down me and love that guy very, very much. Listen. Not this week, but December 2nd, Yo will get a chance to explain his whole book. Let's talk.